Short and sweet. That's what we've done with this episode of the Vermont Edition podcast. I'm Matthew Smith, producer of Vermont Edition, and I wanted to say thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Currently, five states conduct their elections by using ballots that are sent to the homes of all registered voters. Health and safety concerns about the coronavirus are causing many more states to look at adopting this system for the November election. Vermont is one of those states. Vermont already has the most lenient early voting system in the country. Voters here can request a ballot from their town clerks within 45 days of an election. Should lawmakers go a step further and adopt a system where ballots are sent to all registered voters to allow people to vote from home if they want to? The Vermont Senate took this issue up today and approved the bill by a vote of 21-7. And with us today for the first part of the program to discuss this issue, two senators who were active in that debate, Windham Senator Jeanette White, who serves as the chairperson of the Senate Government Operations Committee, and also Senate Minority Leader Joe Benning, who represents Caledonia County. Senator White, Senator Benning, welcome to the program. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Bob.
And you can join the conversation here at Vermont Edition. You can give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. Vote by mail. Vote from home. Is it a good idea to send ballots out to all registered voters, all the voters who are on the checklist? Is this what Vermont should do for the November election? Your thoughts about it? Pro, con? Maybe you have questions and comments. Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. Just before we start our discussion of this important issue, I'd like to ask both of you to respond to what's happening in our country right now following the death of George Floyd and the protests that are taking place in Vermont and across the country. Yesterday, President Trump called on the nation's governors and mayors to crack down on these protests. He said, quote, you have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run over you. You're going to look like a bunch of jerks. Then he announced that he would activate members of the U.S. military if local officials are unable to control these protests. What are your thoughts about this situation, Senator White?
Oh, boy, that's a far cry from an elections question, but so I wasn't prepared for this, but I think that in Vermont, we do not have the same kind of issues. I think we have rogue policemen, that's true. And I think that the, quite honestly, you want my opinion, I think the president has lost it.
In what way?
Well, I mean, calling out the military to quell... I wasn't prepared to respond to this, so I'm caught off guard a little bit. But I think that he is inflaming anything that is happening, and we need to approach this rationally. And if you really watch kind of law enforcement, most law enforcement people are very upset about what happened, and I think that president is way overreacting and adding to the dissent, the issue.
Senator White, we appreciate your comments. Senator Benning, you're a lawyer. What are your thoughts about calling out the U.S. military if the president determines that cities and states are not doing enough to control these protests?
Well, Bob, first I'll have to say that you're an expert at delivering an off-speed pitch to somebody expecting a fastball.
Yeah.
And I'll join with my colleague and say that I was not prepared for this, but let me make a couple of remarks. As a former chair of Vermont's Human Rights Commission, I know full well we have had problems with police officers. My initial interaction was involving a police officer named Paul Lawrence, who had basically just did whatever he wanted to and ended up convicting people that should never have been brought to trial in the first place. That does not mean all law enforcement officers are like that, but it's that one rogue officer, and I should pause here to say, I believe the vast, vast majority of police officers are good people. They are working hard to protect us, but it just takes one. And when that one exercises that authority in such a way that somebody is discriminated against or wrongfully prosecuted or, in this sad case, killed, that is incumbent upon all of us to react, not just with horror, but with a determination to make sure that never happens again. As far as the president's involvement in this, I do not wish to have the national representatives dictating to the states, especially our state, what should and should not happen. He may have his own opinion about how things should be handled, but using the example of what went on in Burlington this past weekend, those people were protesting. They were loud, they were obnoxious, but they were doing so in a peaceful manner. I was a little concerned when one of the main organizers dumped a pool of what was supposed to be blood in front of the chief of police. But even that by itself was not something that should cause a reaction in a police officer, and that's where her training comes in. She did not react in such a way that only exacerbated the problem. And I am concerned that some of the remarks that the president has been making exacerbates the problem. And if at any point in time we need leadership at both the state and the national level to calm down the level of rhetoric, now is that time. So I would prefer that we follow the current governor of Vermont's lead in keeping this, recognizing that people have a right to gather and protest, and that we understand there is a problem that we all have in systemic situations that result in activities by law enforcement, as well as others, that we need to curtail. And you can't do that without raising a protest.
Appreciate you both talking about this very important topic. Let's return to vote by mail, the issue of the day. As I mentioned, the Vermont Senate voted this morning 21-7, supporting a bill giving the Secretary of State the authority to have ballots sent out to all voters for the November election. Secretary of State Jim Condos has made it very clear that this is a step that he wants to take to protect both the health of voters and local election officials. Now, just to be clear, under this plan, voters could mail the ballot back to their town clerk, or if they wanted to, they could take it in person and actually vote at the polls on Election Day itself. And the polls would be open for anyone who didn't get a ballot or wanted to bring one in. We want to make that very clear. Senator White, why do you think that this is good legislation?
Well, first of all, I should say that this bill does not give the authority to the Secretary of State. We've already given that authority. When we passed a bill early in the session, it gave the authority to the Secretary of State and our elections officers, which includes town clerks, to come up with a system that would conduct the election in a manner that preserves its integrity while protecting both poll workers and voters. And this was one of the options that was there. All this bill does is removes the agreement by the governor in making that decision. We've already given the authority to the Secretary of State, the flexibility to do this. So I do think it's a good idea because we need to make sure that people are not disenfranchised because of fear of going to the elections. We've seen in the five states that already do it that there isn't an issue of fraud. That's an issue that's been raised. I won't go on and on, as you probably heard from following the Senate debate this morning. There's a lot to say about this, but I'll wait for some questions.
Okay. Well, Senator White, one thing that I heard a lot this morning raised by a number of senators was the integrity of some local voter checklists. Now, these checklists can have people on them who no longer live in the town. These checklists can have names of people who have died in recent years. So under this proposal, wouldn't all of these people still receive a ballot? And then if that happens, what happens to those ballots?
Well, they wouldn't receive a ballot if they've been challenged. The ballots will only go to active voters, and active voters are defined not by whether you voted or not, but whether you've been challenged. And the there will be a mail-out postcard to every voter in the primary, and that will give the opportunity to clean up some of the checklists, because there will be instructions to the post office to return ones that are undeliverable and to give forwarding addresses to those that have forwarding addresses. And before that happens, the Secretary of State is going to be matching the addresses through the National... it's a national registry database, national change of address database that's maintained by the post office. So there will be a lot of cleanup of voter checklists. And yes, it is true that there will be some people who are on voter checklists, but most town clerks and BCA members are very diligent about making sure that their checklists are up to date. And if someone has been challenged, and I don't want to explain that unless people have questions about it, but if someone has been challenged and maybe shouldn't be on the checklist, they will not receive a ballot unless they respond positively.
Senator Benning, why do you feel that sending a ballot to everybody on the town checklist might not be such a great idea?
Bob, before I go off on the tangent that may make me sound like I'm Mr. Doom and Gloom, I'd like to just back up a little bit and tell you what my authority, so to speak, is for taking the position that I have. I'm a long-standing member of Linden's Board of Civil Authority, and we meet on a regular basis to purge the checklist of voters that we believe are either dead, are no longer residents of the town, or even in some cases they haven't voted in so long we don't know whether they're residents or not, so we send out a message inquiring whether they still exist and if they're still interested in voting. We have a town here of a little over 5,000 people, and the handful of us that are on the Board of Civil Authority always miss people on the checklist that should have been taken off, because it's literally impossible for a small group of human beings to understand who in town is actually still here or not, and do that with 100% accuracy. So I come from the position of, first, as in every piece of legislation I've ever looked at, is this necessary? If it's not necessary, then I begin questioning why is it we're doing it in the first place. So let me answer that question, is this necessary? Presently, Vermont has something that is quite unique in the United States, and that's an absentee ballot system, whereby if you are uncomfortable or incapable of making it to the polling station, we have a system in place called absentee balloting. All you have to do is call the town clerk, say, I can't be there, or I don't want to be there for whatever reason, and they will mail you a ballot. Now, that simple act, you calling or contacting the town clerk's office, that is an element of security that keeps our election system sacrosanct, and that's very important. The justification for the bill is quite reasonable, the justification being we are concerned about COVID-19 and whether there is a resurgence in the November election. There's a whole other conversation we could have about the August election, but this deals only today, this discussion only talks about the November election. If, in fact, the COVID-19 pandemic has a resurfacing and it requires some drastic measure and people are not comfortable about going to the polls, the system that we now have in place with that element, that little element of security, says, okay, you can get a ballot, you can mail it in. End of story. The system works. Our town clerks have been trained on it. There's no need for additional money. There's no need for additional training. We have that system in place. And now what we're doing with this piece of legislation, and let me pause to say that Jeanette is correct. The bill in front of us today is only dealing with one particular element of what we passed earlier. Unfortunately, when we passed it, it was at a time when we did not have anywhere near the amount of information about potential consequences that we do now. And what we did not do at that time was say, this is the system that the Secretary of State shall use. We left it up to the Secretary of State to propose options. This is one of those options. And at this point, we're arguing really after the fact about what we passed and why it might not be a great idea. So in direct answer to your question, why isn't it a good idea? We are mailing approximately, the estimates are very wide-ranging, from 300 to 500,000 ballots. These are live ballots. They can be voted on by whoever receives them. I am not going to sit here and say I am firmly of the belief there will be widespread fraud. I disagree with that thoroughly. However, I have made a pretty good living over the past 37 years as a criminal defense attorney. And as much as I believe that every Vermonter is going to be responsible and do the right thing, my personal history and experience tells me there are some who don't. And as we know from recent experience, even one vote, even one fraudulent vote can turn an election. Witness Sarah Buxton and David Ainsworth several years ago. They can tell you all about, well, David's deceased now. But the upshot is I don't want to create another system that's not necessary, will be expensive. And while the money may be coming from the federal government, that's still our federal tax dollars. And it removes that one element of security that the absentee balloting situation has in place. So mailing $300,000 to $500,000 live ballots out to addresses that we suppose the registered voter actually still is at becomes problematic. And let me give an example. Here in the town of Linden, we have a couple of hundred votes that go out to a location on College Road. And the people who are at College Road are actually attending the college here. Some of them are no longer here. When those ballots go out, are they going to be returned, or are they going to sit in a box somewhere waiting for somebody to pick it up who owns the box now but is not the same person that was originally in the box?
Well, Senator Bending, under those circumstances, if I understand the bill correctly and what Senator White said, there'd be a postcard sent out before sometime in June or July. And if that postcard came back, a person not at this address any longer, or there was some reason that it was returned, then that person would not be sent a ballot. Wouldn't that take care of the problem?
If, let me put it this way, two responses. First, I have a post office box in Lindenville, and I all the time get mail from somebody who used to be at the box. I generally take that document and I hand it back to the postal clerk and I say, this person is not here. That's a responsible Vermonter doing the right thing. If you are not as responsible as I am, what are you going to do with that document? I don't know the answer to that question, but let's just suppose that the person who picks it up and is not the voter deposits it in the garbage can because it's not for them. It's just a postcard. That's a common event for me as well. If I get junk mail, it's not in my name, I throw it out. There's no way for the town clerk to know that the message wasn't received by the voter who is supposed to get that ballot later on. So the automatic result is the vendor who is going to be hired to send out these 300,000 to 500,000 voting ballots ends up sending it out to a place where we have no idea who's now receiving it. That by itself is problematic.
Right. Let me just get Senator White to respond to this idea that if the postcard is sent out and, as Senator Benning said, the person who gets it sees it as junk mail, tosses it, does that cause some security problems for the mail-out ballots for the November election, Senator White?
I suppose it could cause a problem or two. I don't see that being widespread. The post office, the way these cards are being sent out is not like your typical junk mail that just goes to a post office box. The Secretary of State is working, and I should say it's our elections director that is doing most of this. Not the Secretary of State is involved in it, but the elections director is the one that is doing the majority of the footwork. So they're working with the post office to make sure that if there is a person no longer at that address, that it is returned to the town, that the post office will return it. They have these change of address forms that they're going to be checking with, as I said, the National Change of Address Database. So they'll be doing that, cleaning up some of it beforehand if there's a change of address. If it's not deliverable for some reason, that will go back to the town clerk. So this isn't there certainly will be a few slip-ups, I believe, but for the most part, they're working very closely with the post office and the town clerks to make sure that everybody is notified of any change of address or any person no longer residing at that address. And if the ballot does get tossed into the garbage can, or the change of address gets tossed into the garbage can, and somebody doesn't receive a ballot because of that, they can still call the town clerk and say, "I didn't receive a ballot. How come? Can I get one in the mail?" Yes, the town clerk will send them one. Or if they get a ballot and they shouldn't have had it and they throw it away, that's the way it is. If they get a ballot and they fraudulently vote on that ballot and send it in under that other person's name, if the person is still on the checklist, they'll be checked off. And when the person comes in to vote, they'll be given a provisional ballot. So, we don't see widespread fraud in Vermont. And I think that we have the potential for seeing it, but we don't. So,
Bob, okay. I'll agree with Jeanette that we don't see widespread fraud in Vermont, but we have no idea whether fraud actually takes place. Unless somebody is actually prosecuted, there's just no possible way of knowing. And I'll say again, it's only one individual who was acting nefariously that could jeopardize the election itself. To me, that's problematic, and it is not necessary when you already have a system in place that takes care of the safety question for voters when the November election comes down.
Well, I do disagree that it can't happen now and that that's a safety measure. I could call the town clerk's office and ask for an absentee ballot for my husband and my son and myself. I'm a family member. They could send it to me. I could send in all three of those ballots myself. So the potential for fraud exists now. I don't think it will exist in any greater degree if we mail out ballots. And remember, this is a mail-out ballot. The people can still throw it away or bring it to the town clerk's office or go to the polls with it.
Let's turn to Ian in Richmond. Hi, Ian. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for taking my call and for having this conversation. I'm calling today to strongly support the action the Senate took to make mail voting a reality here in Vermont, and I would urge the governor to sign it as well. I've worked with Vermont Conservation Voters, and a couple of my colleagues a few weeks ago organized a webinar with staffers from Oregon Conservation Voters. And for folks who don't know, Oregon is a state that has had an early voting system for years. And that webinar provided a very in-depth look at how that system has worked, described that there was very little to no fraud at all. I'd encourage people to go to VermontConservationVoters.org and check that out. And more generally, I think in this time of COVID-19 and necessary social distancing, I think it is essential that Vermont do everything it can to ensure that everyone who is eligible to vote can do so in a manner that is safe to their health. And I think that the potential risks of fraud, and I've heard nothing but kind of hypotheticals that have, you know, been talking about how that might happen. I would weigh the evidence in states where we've had vote-by-mail systems, there has been no fraud, against the costs of people potentially not voting if they don't feel safe to do so in person.
Okay, Ian, let me ask you this question. The point that Senator Benning raised in the first part of the program, Vermont has the most lenient early voting system in the country. You can request a ballot 45 days ahead of the election. If a voter feels that there's a health concern for them or for local election officials, they call or write their town clerk, ask for a ballot, and everything is all done. So why doesn't that suffice?
So I think the problem with that is that that places the burden of action on the individual voter in order to vote, right? So someone has to take the initiative to reach out to their town clerk or even know to reach out to their town clerk to request an absentee ballot. And I don't know about you or Senator Benning, but, you know, I feel like I have a lot on my mind right now. And putting that extra burden on ordinary Vermonters, I think, doesn't make a lot of sense when not putting in a vote-by-mail system and not making it as easy for people to exercise their democratic right to vote as possible makes a lot of sense.
Okay, Ian, thanks for your phone call. Let's turn to Mays, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Mays. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I would echo Ian's sentiments from before, but I have a simple question, and that's just that if we are to institute a vote-by-mail system in Vermont, do you all think that how would it affect voter turnout in Vermont? Would it increase voter turnout? Would it stay the same? What are your thoughts on that?
Great question. Let's get a brief answer from both of our guests today. Senator White, what do you think it'll do to voter turnout?
I think it will increase voter turnout. We've seen in the states that do it, they have had massive voter participation increases. So I think it will increase the participation. We have a pretty bleak voting participation record. Senator Clarkson had some statistics this morning on the Senate floor, and our highest, I believe, was the the Obama-McCain campaign, and I think it was 70%. So we need to improve that.
Senator Benning, is one side benefit perhaps of this system increased voter participation?
You know, I've heard some people say it benefits Democrats, and in my neck of the woods, I tend to believe it would benefit Republicans, only because I live in a more rural area with a more elderly population. And if you look at the last election, the number of ballots that were not marked was incredible. And let me say, I think we all agree on two things. Number one, that the election, the voters themselves should be safe in exercising their right. And number two, that we encourage everybody who can vote to vote. There's no dispute about that whatsoever. We're all looking at exactly the same thing. The question is the system. Will this system actually improve voter turnout? I don't know that anybody's done a comparison of what the voter turnout was prior to our instituting an absentee ballot system. So I have nothing to compare it to. If the introduction of the absentee ballot system actually drove up our numbers, which would be surprising to me, believing that the voters have been on a downward scale for many years, then there might be some value and wisdom in saying that this will automatically result in a higher turnout. I don't know the answer to that question. That is an assumption that people are making. I hope there is a voter turnout that's increased one way or the other, but I have to look at the last election, the presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. If there was any election where people were more fired up about their respective candidates, that one had to be it. But we had less people voting than the Obama and McCain election the presidential year before. So I don't, you're speculating in a vacuum without anything to compare it to, and I just don't know whether this will improve voter turnout or not. It looks like the bill is going to pass, so I guess we're going to test it and see what happens.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Catherine, who is calling from IRA. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So this is mostly for Senator Benning, but both are welcome to chime in. Given all that's going on in the world and in our country and how badly Donald Trump has mismanaged it all, Senator Benning, why are you and the Vermont GOP carrying water for the president? Opposition to vote by mail is opposition to democracy, and it scares me to see Republicans catering to Trump's anti-democratic fascist tendencies.
Appreciate the question, Catherine. Let me respond first off by saying I'm not carrying anybody's water other than my own. I will also say that voting by mail is currently authorized in Vermont. It has been for many years. It's a system that has been demonstrated to work. What we're being asked now is to carry that one step further and mail out 500,000 live ballots to addresses where we don't know people actually still exist. To me, that presents the opportunity for mischief. And I don't want to believe that I'm carrying somebody else's water in making that statement. That's just my own personal experience as a criminal defense attorney and my own experience serving on the Board of Civil Authority here in Linden. It brings up another interesting question. I've gotten exactly two letters from town clerks on this issue, and I represent 23 towns. I was kind of scratching my head when this proposal came down, wondering, these are the people who are going to end up doing all the work. Where are they? Nobody's contacted me to say anything. So I reached out to my own town clerk, and if I may, Bob, I'd like to read her response, and this is dated May 26th. She says, I personally believe it's a waste of money. In 2016, we had an 18% turnout for the August primary and a 64% turnout for the general election in November. I would support a postcard campaign promoting requesting early ballots. There will always be those that want to personally cast their ballots. Thanks for asking. The second letter from a town clerk I have is not one that was sent directly to me, but I got because I learned about the town clerk's having a listserv, and one of my compatriots in the legislature shared this with me. It's from Donna Kinville of South Burlington. She's the former president of the Town Clerks Association and is currently the city clerk for South Burlington. And it's a long letter. I'll read a sentence or two. She says, and this is dated May 29th. She says, I know that there is discussion regarding mailing of ballots to all registered voters for this November election. I want to go on record as stating that I do not ever wish to mail a ballot for any election to all registered voters, only to those who requested one. Now, that's a pretty clear statement. That, by the way, was sent directly to, I believe, her local representatives, Ann Pugh, Maida Townsend, Martin Lalonde, John Kalacki. I don't want to fashion this or couch it in terms that this is a national debate between people who are in battle over Republicans versus Democrats. This is a local issue for us. And in my eyes, when you have a system of mail-in balloting that's working, that brings some measure of security, my personal position is why take the chance of offering the opportunity for mischief when you don't need to?
Senator White, could you respond to some of the Senator Benning's concerns of why invite mischief if you don't need to? Why have the opportunity for fraud when you already have the early voting system?
Well, I think that inviting mischief is, I wouldn't put it that way. I think that we are the most important, one of the basic aspects of our democracy is the listening to the people's voice, and the people express their voice in many different ways. And one of the major ways that people express their voice is through an election. And in my mind, we should take every opportunity to remove any obstacle to voting to allow people to do it. So I would say that making mischief is there will be people who want to make mischief no matter what, and they can do it now if they want to. When we had same-day election registration or election-day registration, we had many people who opposed that at the time because they said, well, there's going to be a lot of fraud because people are going to go to Putney and register and vote, and then they're going to go to Dummerston and register to vote, and then they're going to go to Westminster and register and vote. It didn't happen. We didn't see it. So my feeling is that we need to remove every obstacle that we can to allow people to vote, because that is the absolute cornerstone of our democracy.
Well, the bill that passed the Senate this morning will be considered by the House in the coming weeks. Senators Jeanette White and Joe Benning, many thanks for being on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Today on the program, we're looking at a plan to send ballots to all voters for the November election and then allow them to mail them back or bring them back to their town clerks. The Vermont Senate gave its approval to the plan this morning. It's now going to be considered in the House. And joining us now are two key members of the House Government Operations Committee. The chairperson of that committee, Representative Sarah Copeland-Hansis, and the ranking member, Representative Rob LeClaire. I'd like to thank both of you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Bob.
So, Representative Copeland-Hansis, what do you see as the outlook for this bill? How do you think your committee will deal with it?
So I would expect that the committee will move through the consideration of this bill fairly quickly. These are all issues that we have been keeping on top of since the basically since before the COVID shutdown. The Secretary of State and his elections team came to meet with us in the State House before we ended in-person meetings to talk about contingencies, because they recognized that in a time of social distancing, when it is unsafe for us to be face-to-face, we want to make sure that we put every necessary response in place so that we can protect the health and safety of not only voters, but our poll workers and our town clerk staff.
And we heard from Senator Benning that he felt that Vermont already has a really good early voting system. Voters can request a ballot within 45 days of an election, and he felt that that was a more secure system. Why do you think that's not enough?
Well, I really think about it from the nuts and bolts and mechanics of how our town clerk's offices are running right now. And a lot of the COVID response work that our Government Operations Committee has been doing have been to allow for the kinds of adaptations that town clerk's offices need to do now that they are not open to the public and that it's not safe for them to be open to the public. So I think about the fact that some folks who work in our town clerk's offices are having challenges working in the office. And if we are going to scrap this idea of mailing from a central location and instead ask our town clerks to be keeping on top of the daily list of requests, that means that those stuffing of envelopes and all of that mailing process is going to happen in town clerk's offices that are in some cases very stressed and strapped for personnel at this time. If you have childcare issues and you can't come to work at the town clerk's office, you're going to be leaving your town clerk shorthanded. And so I think it makes perfect sense for us to mail this from a central location. As Jeanette White said earlier, what's most important in this is that we protect every voter's ability to vote even during the pandemic.
Representative LeClaire, what are your thoughts about this issue?
Well, you know, our first concern obviously is the voters and the poll workers' safety. And obviously we're looking for people to be able to vote. We're having a vote today in Barrytown. We've had absentee voters. I know that that's very high, but our polls are open today. So, you know, it can happen, and it's going to happen. Our concern has been all along is, like Sarah said, it's more about the nuts and bolts of this. This discussion happened fairly quickly with the input of one town clerk. And as Senator Benning had said, you know, now other town clerks are starting to weigh in, and there's some concern about this. And one of the main concerns is the main election officials by town and community are going to be somewhat taken out of it initially, in that, yes, they are looking to have one central location to send all this out. And as it turns out, that central location is not going to be in a Vermont-based company. It's going to be an out-of-state company that has very little to no connection with our state as far as how we do what we do. And it's getting very complicated. That's the concern.
Do you have concerns as well, Representative LeClaire, that some of these voter checklists can contain dozens of people who have either moved away or have passed away?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that there's, you know, some voter checklists out there. You can never have them be 100%. But if we approach this just like we're going to do with the primary, where with the primary they're going to send out postcards, and then people can request ballots that way. If we did something along that lines for the general election, you know, a postcard costs about 35 cents. It's my understanding to send one of these ballots out, it's going to be about $1.45. So we could save hundreds of thousands of dollars and make sure that there's still the integrity process that we all want to see and have the voter participation that we all strive for.
Representative Copeland Hanzus, when you vote by mail, there's some very strict rules that a person must follow. They need to sign the ballot. They need to have a special envelope. I think they have to sign the envelope as well. Are you at all concerned that some voters are not going to be aware of all the steps that they have to take and will invalidate their vote as a result of that?
So that's always been a concern, and I think that the other advantage of doing this universal mailing of ballots to Vermonters is that we can get out there and do a lot of the public outreach and education that needs to be done to help people understand how to fill out their ballot and how to get it back to their town clerk's office. And indeed, our town clerks and other folks in our communities will be able to help people understand how to do that. So there's a lot that we want to do to help people understand how to do that. And the quicker we can get this decision made and get the process underway, the quicker we can do that kind of outreach.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Marcy, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Marcy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. My question is, I see it as pretty likely that the same people that will be put at high risk by going to vote in the polls, which elderly people, people with pre-existing chronic illnesses, those people are also far more likely to be the ones that are inconvenienced by having to request a ballot. So shouldn't we be trying to make voting as easy as possible for folks like that?
Representative LeClaire, what about making voting as easy as possible, as Marcy mentioned, for folks who are in a high-risk category?
Well, and because of the absentee ballot process, we have done that. It gets used more and more. In fact, I did it myself for the first time this election because of a time constraint, not so much of a concern. So we've had a process in place that for years it has worked out very well. So let's continue to use that process, and if there's a way to make it better, let's do that.
And Representative LeClaire, you talked about the vote in Berrytown today. Do I understand there's some drive-through voting going on? Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding, is there's going to be some drive-through voting among other – I believe people can go in – don't quote me on this, but I think that they can go in as well, but there is a drive-through voting provisions set up there so that you don't even have to get out of your car. So if you leave it up to the town clerks, you know, they are the primary election officials by community. They will be very creative and will get it done. They do an outstanding job, and that's one of our main concerns, is they haven't been involved in this discussion from the onset like they should have been and need to be.
Yep. Representative Copeland Hensis, we're running short on time, but we've gotten a couple of emails from people who say, are you putting more of a burden on town clerks and local communities, and are they going to have the resources they need to perform these duties?
You know, everything about COVID is putting more of a burden on all of us as we figure out ways to adapt. And there's nothing more important to understand and to adapt effectively than our right to exercise the vote. And so I think in many ways, this takes a lot of burden off of the town clerks, since they won't be doing the outgoing mail half of an absentee ballot, because all they'll need to do is receive the ballot. That's going to take a lot of the potential burden away from them.
Do you think this is going to delay the tabulation of votes? If votes come in over a period of 4 or 5 weeks, or maybe there's a real crush at the end, are town clerks going to be able to have the time to tabulate all these ballots in a timely manner?
Well, it does add a little bit of time to the process to open an envelope. But those are questions that we will continue to explore with the town clerks, as the local election administrators, and with the Secretary of State's office. And, if it becomes clear that we need to give them the flexibility to begin, for instance, feeding ballots into a tabulator on days before the election, then we'll make sure that that is able to happen. During COVID-19, we have all had to figure out new adaptations and new ways to do things that are important, and this is just one of those adaptations that we need to make so that Vermonters can vote safely.
And what do you think of this concept of drive-through voting that Representative LeClaire mentioned to us is being used in Berrytown today, and there are other towns that may want to look at that system? Do you think that that's going to be something that will stay with us as a result of COVID-19?
I would love to see how it works in practice and hear from the folks in Barrie about their experiences with it. And that is a way of maintaining some sense of distance, primarily between the voter and other voters, since they're each in their own individual vehicle. So it's a fascinating adaptation. We're doing drive-through graduation ceremonies as well. So who knows? Maybe this will be something that seems convenient and folks want to continue doing in the future.
Well, it's been a great discussion about a very important governance issue. Many thanks to our Vermont House guest today, Representative Sarah Copeland Hensis and Representative Rob LeClaire. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having us, Bob.